Good morning. And I didn't even turn on my microphone. I need to follow my own directions. We'll start over. Good morning. The Education Quality Subcommittee will now come to order for a roll call. Please remember to turn on your microphones. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Trabulsi?
Here.
Vice Chair Temple?
Here.
Ranking Member Benjamin?
Present.
Representative Alvarez?
Here.
Representative Beltran?
Here.
Representative Kennedy?
Here.
Representative Casello?
Here.
Representative Chamberlain? Representative Daniels? Representative Franklin?
Present.
Representative Gant?
I'm here.
Representative Garcia?
Present.
Representative Gilombardo?
Here.
Representative Gonzalez-Pittman?
Present.
Representative Plasencia?
Here.
Representative Redondo?
Here.
Representative Tomko is excused. Representative Yeager?
Here.
We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Again, welcome to the Education Quality Subcommittee. We have a very packed schedule today. I would like to ask that you silence all cell phones, and if there's anyone in the audience wishing to speak on a bill, please make sure to complete an appearance card and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office. And we're just going to get right into it. So relating to school chaplains by Representative McLean, we will now hear House Bill 931. Representative McLean, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Temple, and Ranking Member Benjamin, members of the committee. It's my pleasure to be able to introduce House Bill 931. The bill authorizes each school district or charter school to adopt a policy to allow volunteer school chaplains to provide support services and programs to students as assigned by the district. This bill will also require each volunteer school chaplain to meet statutory background screening requirements, and each school district and charter school governing board will have until January 1st, 2025 to vote whether to adopt a policy. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the bill? Ranking Member Benjamin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rep. With regards to this, what's the... Why is this an issue? Why can't they do it now without statute?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. They're currently not authorized.
Follow up?
Why not?
You're recognized.
How are they? Let me rephrase.
Never been contacted.
What makes them different than any other volunteer organization that they wouldn't be authorized?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The currently. There in the statute, it does speak to who can be a volunteer, what types of organizations can volunteer, and also as it relates to how it would be done. And so they are not specifically spoken to in statute, so we thought it'd be best if we did that.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't see a definition for who can be a chaplain as it relates to what type of religious programming would the chaplain be responsible for.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We left that. That will be left first, the school board will determine whether they want to do a program or not. Second, it will be left to them to make those determinations by the school board members.
Representative Gant, do you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. McLean, thank you for reaching out, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to get questions to you in advance. My first question is in response to your answer that you just gave. So would school boards or could school boards conceivably deny the ability for a particular religion to fall under this bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think certainly under the Civil Rights Act or something like that, I don't think they would be able to do that. I think that would be against the law.
Do you have a follow-up question, Representative?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. McLean, when it comes to the definition of volunteer, would they be allowed, if the school board adopts it, would they be allowed to push into classrooms, or would this be solely for after-school activities?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That would be a decision by the school board to make as to how those services would be provided and what services for that matter.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as far as the programs, I know it requires parental consent for whatever student, if it's adopted, for the student to participate. The school board will have the responsibility of approving whatever curriculum are involved in the programs as well. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is correct.
Did you have any further questions, Representative?
Not right now. I'll let someone else go.
Ranking Member Benjamin, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So we're saying school districts can provide, this will allow school districts to provide for chaplain programming. So would that be the same as having schools develop religious programming?
You're recognized.
No, it would not be, because we're not setting a parameter that says it has to be a religious program. All we're saying is that a someone who would be considered a chaplain, if the district decided to do that, could then be a volunteer.
Follow up?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. But the language of this particular bill calls for the district, or allows for the district, to have programming or chaplain programming as assigned by the district. So then my question is, what type of programming are we talking about? Because we know that chaplain services is about religious counseling. So what type of programming do we conceive that the school board would be assigning to the chaplain?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I personally have no conception of what that would look like. That's going to be left to the individual school boards to decide.
Members, any further questions? Okay. We do have a few appearance cards for you. Reverend Dr. Joe Paramore from the Council of Florida Churches is an opponent of the bill. Oh, he is speaking. I apologize. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I am Reverend Dr. Joe Paramore, the Legislative Affairs Director for the Council of Florida Churches. And we stand in opposition to HB 931, the school chaplain bill. And here's why. It's real simple. Over the past several years, we have seen this legislative body seek to engage in a term called grooming. And when we look at that term grooming, as defined by Merriam-Webster, says when someone builds a relationship, trust, and emotional connection with a child or young person so they can manipulate, exploit, and abuse them. Government-sanctioned, well-trained, and educated chaplains are certainly appropriate in many settings. However, our public schools are not the place for untrained and uneducated wannabe chaplains. And I'll speak more to that later. So to put this in a bit of context, there are instances where properly trained and educated chaplains serve a tremendous role in spirituality and in spiritual care. For example, our military, our corrections institutions, our hospitals and medical facilities. Military members may have security or language barriers. And for an example, a Jewish chaplain that's trained can advocate for a Muslim to pray his five prayers five times a day. Incarcerated individuals are not given a religious hall pass. We know that. To leave prison and to attend the corporate worship service of their own choosing. Hospitalized patients may be too sick or far away from their congregations to engage in meaningful religious exercises. Public school children simply do not face the same barriers of religious and spiritual exercise that service members, prisoners, or patients may face. That's a fact. And here's why that's true. The religious and spiritual well-being of our young people is a family and family unit responsibility. Schools have guidance counselors. Those guidance counselors have the referral capability if a child needs that. No family should be subjected to the government's assertion of religious or spiritual care, whether it's from this body or the local school board. Parents have a very distinctive First Amendment right to determine who influences their children's spiritual journey. Faith is voluntary. We should all know that. As adults, we choose to participate in faith or choose not to. And it should never be forced and never coerced. And it's disturbing to read this legislation and find there is no language that would prevent chaplains from proselytizing or manipulating while at the schools they serve. And this body's ultimately responsible for that. I'd like to talk briefly about professional chaplaincy because this is where the rubber meets the road. Programs, training, and education. In most cases, chaplains are required to have a graduate level degree. They're not a Sunday school teacher. Let's be clear. They're required to have specific training from an accredited clinical pastoral education program, also known as CPE. I happen to teach in the CPE program at Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare. HB 931 has no specific educational training requirements, and that is obviously extremely concerning. While there are requirements for background checks, which is good, there are no requirements for educational training. And that concerns me when our young people are subjected to a volunteer that absolutely has no training in the spiritual care and well-being of our public school young children. This training often requires 100 hours plus of training and rigorous certification. So for an example, and I used one, a Jewish chaplain advocating for a Muslim, a Christian chaplain in a medical facility advocating for an atheist, because that's what they wanted. It wasn't forced on them. It wasn't coerced. So in closing, this legislation has no boundaries. And we know why. And this is the sad reality. And that's why it is simply found in the definition I referred to earlier. We believe the intent of HB 31, while not specifically mentioned, is to allow grooming and manipulation into Christian nationalism. And therefore, we strenuously encourage you to vote no on this legislation. Thank you.
Pastor, thank you for being here. We do have a committee member that would like to ask you a question.
Absolutely.
Vice Chair Temple, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So let me understand what I believe I heard you say. If an individual does not have academic training to be within the school, they should not be allowed to volunteer in the school. Is that correct?
No, that is not what I said.
Okay. Could you elaborate?
Okay. What I said was very specific. When it comes to chaplaincy, okay, there are accredited chaplaincy programs that is beyond a graduate level degree program that chaplains in the hospitals, chaplains in the military, chaplains in other state organizations such as Florida Department of Corrections, Florida Department of Juvenile Justice, must meet those accredited standards and certification standards in order to be a chaplain. And the reason for that is we're talking about the spiritual well-being of young people, again, which should be left up to the family, not the school district. Let's make that clear, okay? School districts are burdened enough, and whether they elect to participate or not, I'm advocating against it because they are already overburdened. And to throw another program that literally makes no sense when the school districts have the capacity through certified guidance counselors to provide counseling services, not only academically, but referral services if they find out that it's necessary.
Thank you, Pastor. You're recognized.
Sir, so your main objection is that the bill specifies a lack of training requirement?
Not only that, it's not the district's responsibility to engage in spiritual care and upbringing of our young people. That is a family and family unit issue, not the district of the school district. The other thing that concerns us specifically to that question is there is no specific direction for school board to follow as who will allow to be chaplains and who will not be allowed to be chaplains. And I know we heard the representative say, well, it's left up to the school district. Well, we know what that means. Let me interpret that for you. I think that means that if it's not Christian-based or Christian-related, chances of a chaplain being approved are nil. I mean, let's cut through the chase, and I just want to be real. We know how funding works, and we know what unwritten language is. And our concern is, if there's not specific direction in this piece of legislation, then what's going to be the repercussion on a school district that chooses not to participate if they can't allow anyone that is trained and educated to be a chaplain?
Thank you, Pastor. Any further questions, members? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA. She is an opponent of the bill and would like to speak. Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here. Ryan Kennedy, Florida Citizens Alliance, is a proponent of the bill and would like to speak. Thank you for being here today. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. My name is Ron Kennedy with the Florida Citizens Alliance, group of over 260,000 supporters across the state of Florida. Two-thirds of those are children 17 under and home. We first want to thank the sponsor for bringing this bill forward. This bill will add another layer of choice within the school district. What do I mean by that? Because it allows parents to choose if they want their child to have access to chaplains. It also allows chaplains to choose if they want to be a part of the program if the school district votes for it. We see chaplains in many other public sector entities. The biggest and most successful is, of course, in the military, which many religions participate and many soldiers participate in. The federal government allows chaplain services in the military. Shouldn't we allow our children to have access to these services as well? So that's one of the things I will that I would say about the bill. So, and we support it, and thank you for this.
Thank you again for being here. Reverend James Golden is an opponent of the bill and would like to speak. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for allowing me to speak about this very important issue. There was a secular politician that said some few years back that just because you put lipstick on a pig doesn't stop it from being a pig. And the reality of what we're doing here today is trying to insinuate into the public education system an opportunity for an organization, missions, whatever their name is, to, and I quote, to provide the tools that parents, teachers, students need to make quality life decisions based upon the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I stand before you today with a Master's of Divinity degree in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. But I also stand before you today with a law degree. And this is egregious because this allows this particular group and any other group that adheres to these types of perspectives to come into our public schools, regardless of whether the children there are Jewish, Hindu, Christian, Muslim. It doesn't matter. And all we're trying to do is to insinuate upon the state of Florida the additional menace of Christian nationalism. You know it, and I know it. There's nothing less at stake here than that. If you don't want quality public education, just say so. Don't put mission lipstick on it and tell me that you're trying to educate my children and my grandchildren when you're really trying to indoctrinate them into one religion. That's not right. I preach the gospel. I teach the gospel. But I wouldn't dare go into a synagogue and do that. Nor would I be adverse to anyone from the mosque coming into my church talking about what they do over there. But I don't think that either one of us ought to have a priority or have the opportunity to just make that happen for all of the children and all of the parents and all of the teachers. This is a pig, you know it. The real question is whether or not we're going to all have barbecue or whether you're just going to go ahead and do this anyway and force us to go to court. We don't want to replace a theocracy with another theocracy. That's not what this is about. But what we do want is democracy for everybody. And this is just not the way to do it. I know you all know that. I also know that this may fall on deaf ears. Some learning comes very hard. I just pray that not too many children, not too many families suffer from this. I know you all don't have any questions for me, so I'm going to go sit down. Thank you.
Thank you again for taking the time to be here today. Reverend Rachel Gunter Shepherd, Pastors for Children and Together for Hope Rural Development, is an opponent of the bill and would like to speak. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. As she mentioned, my name is Reverend Rachel Gunter Shepherd, and I am here to share my opposition to the bill. I am a parent of three public school children in Duval County. I am ordained as a minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. I previously served as a chaplain endorsed by the endorsing board of My Faith Tradition, which is the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. It's made up of over 1,500 churches throughout the U.S. I have a master's degree in theology through which I received extensive training in pastoral care in multi-faith settings. I oppose this bill for many reasons, because in this bill, the requirement for volunteer chaplains seems to just be a background check. There is no educational requirement, no support or accreditation by a religious body saying this person, we know this person, they should be representing us in any setting. There's no proper training on how to serve as a chaplain in a multi-faith setting, which is all of our public schools. I could have not aptly done my job as a chaplain if I had not received this training. So as a chaplain, I am saying, say no to this bill. There's also no language in this bill preventing volunteer chaplains from proselytizing in public schools. And when you look at the entity that is backing the development of this legislation that we're seeing throughout many states, in Texas we saw a similar bill, their 990 clearly states that their aim is to bring faith-based morals based on the Word of God into the schools to reach unreached people group, which is children ages 4 to 14, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith is voluntary. It is a choice that we each make. And it is not something that should be coerced or pushed upon anyone. And when anyone's religious liberty is denied, everyone's religious liberty is threatened. Lastly, families, as a parent and a minister myself of three public school children, we are responsible for the spiritual care and the development of our children, not the government. Even though parental consent is required in this bill for a student to see a volunteer chaplain, not enough information will be provided simply by knowing they pass a background check and what their religious denomination or faith tradition is. I am a Baptist, and I know full well that there are 50 types of Baptists in the U.S., some of which I don't want to be responsible for the spiritual care of my children. Public school children are not like veterans. They're not like incarcerated individuals or those who are sick. We can have access to spiritual care in our community. And if we don't have transportation to get there, clergy will come to children and meet with them in their home. We don't need this in the school. Parents are not asking for it. I'm not asking for it. Parents want fully funded public schools where there are plenty of guidance counselors, social workers, and psychologists to provide for the social and emotional well-being for our children. Please vote no on HB 931.
Thank you for being here. Thank you. Damaris Allen is an opponent of the bill. Devon Graham. Oh, I'm so sorry. No problem. You are an opponent. I did not see that you wish to appear in person, so I overlooked that. I apologize. If you can please state your organization as well.
I'm just representing myself.
Okay, great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for taking the time to listen. First, I want to say that my first career was working in the church. I worked with children and families starting at birth through graduation. And so that was a primary focus. And that is one of the major reasons why I'm an opponent to this bill. So one of the things that happens when you work in Christian education or youth ministries or children's ministry is you work closely with the parents. Why is this important? Because our job is to support the parents in guiding the spiritual journey of their children. It's not to take it over, it's not to usurp it, it's not to push our beliefs or belief systems upon them. It is to support the parents so that they have the tools necessary to provide their children guidance in the process. Why does that concern me with this bill? Well, are the chaplains going to be required to talk to the parents' home church? Are they going to be required to talk to the parents to discuss the issues that their child may be having? Because I was, as a church employee, and that's a serious problem and a challenge for parents. As the past speaker mentioned, there is a wide variety of theological interpretations within every single denomination, so it's very difficult for parents to make an informed decision on whether or not they will allow their child to have this conversation with a chaplain. And lastly, and most importantly, I started volunteering in the school system in 1997 when I started working in the church, and I have not stopped since. Working in the church did not stop me or prohibit me from volunteering. It did not stop me from going to events. It did not stop me from partnering with the multitude of faith-based organizations that already exist within the church. It did not stop me from supporting the students within our youth ministry who wanted to start a faith-based club in their school. So, in conclusion, please vote no. This bill seeks to solve a problem that does not exist. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Devon Graham, American Atheist, wishes to speak on the bill. And she is an opponent of the bill.
Clearly. Yes, I am speaking in opposition to HB 931. This bill is a clear violation of our Establishment Clause. Schools already have licensed, accredited counselors in-house that are beholden to professional and legal guidelines. There are no such guidelines or codes set forth here that these chaplains would need to follow. And since it's not clear whether or not these individuals would be representing the school district in an official capacity, you're opening yourselves up to quite a bit of liability. Beyond that, their language and advice of the chaplains would be rooted not in necessarily in what's best for the child, but rather in what their beliefs dictate, which vary widely. I was raised evangelical. I am well aware that the advice I would have gotten from my pastor on how young ladies should act or dress or what my role in society would be vastly different from the pastor down the street. And while the language in the bill is extremely ambiguous, we all know the intent, which is to give churches the opportunity to proselytize directly to students in public schools. It should be noted that based on the guidelines set forth here, or lack thereof, I qualify to be a chaplain, as do thousands of other Floridians who are not members of the major religion, be that Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, paganism, or even Satanism. I'd like to think that as I could offer some great advice to the young people of the world, and my kids may even agree, I highly doubt you would want me giving spiritual advice to your children. Please oppose.
Thank you for being here. Kara Gross with American Civil Liberties Union of Florida waives in opposition. Aaron DePatrio, Florida Family Policy Council, waives in support. Bill Bunkley, Florida Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, waives in support. Josh Labriola, Christian Family Coalition, Florida, waives in support. Members, we are now in debate on the bill. Representative Redondo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to give everyone a little bit of background, first off, Representative, thank you for bringing this bill. I appreciate it. I'm an attorney as well. And to be very clear, discrimination against any particular religious group, whether that be Jewish chaplains, Hindu chaplains, any particular denomination, is already prohibited under federal or Florida law, just to make that crystal clear. Secondly, there's been a lot of talk here about essentially usurping the role of parents, and I encourage everyone to actually read the bill, please. And if you do so, you'll see that not only do school districts have the option to enact these policies, but a requirement as part of those policies is that the parent must first consent to their child seeing any of these chaplains. So this notion that we are somehow going to usurp parents' rights or have things happening to children that their parents don't know about is simply untrue. And so I just really think that a lot of what we heard today is not actually based on the bill, but based on just some red herrings I'll put out there. But thank you, Representative. I'll be up on your bill today.
Thank you. Representative Casello, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have mixed feelings on this, Representative, but there are some guidelines in place here. It's arbitrary for the school board to either accept it or not, and plus the parental guidance. So one of my concerns would be that the qualifications of being a pastor of God, what the guidelines would be for that, other than somebody just walking and says, there's a lot of little side churches that we know of and everything like that, but they're qualified. The qualifications, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Well, when I was growing up in grammar school, our day started with the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer. That's how we started our school day. I don't think I'm any worse for that. But there's a lot of people here on this committee here who are preachers of the gospel in different denominations. We're fine with that. So I'm going to vote up on this today. I would just like maybe refine it just a little more so that the qualifications for those who are applying to be into the schools, that they meet those qualifications before we let them into the school. And I know you got those guardrails on it now with the school board accepting it, parents, but the qualification part I have a little problem with. I'm going to vote up on it today. Hopefully when you move it along, we can just fine-tune that a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Gant, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. McClain, again, I want to say thank you for reaching out, and I wish I had time to talk to you more about the bill before we got to committee, but I would like to continue the conversation afterwards. So today I will be down on the bill. I want to first thank the members of the community who came to share your professional experience and your opinions as voters and constituents of this committee. So my concerns are several. The first I'll start with was there's no definition of what chaplain is in the bill. What is a chaplain? And then that goes to the qualifications. There are no qualifications at all. Another concern I have is regarding the school board's ability to choose school board or charter school governing board. So essentially we're asking them to make a determination upon what religious chaplain or organization they'll approve. And then they have, if it's a volunteer program, if there's some curriculum, we're asking them to then have the ability or engage in creating religious programming for our students in public schools. And to echo the sentiments of some of the speakers, that's a deeply personal and family issue that should be done with families. I think that there's no guidance as far as are they going to be pushed into the classroom or are they going to be an after-school program? And you can't unring a bell when you are teaching students. So if one parent does give consent and it's an after-school or in-school or during lunch program and another student happens to, you know, go in there, what liability is a parent who hasn't given consent going to bear? And I know that'll fall under whatever curriculum the school board determines, but then we're opening our school board to possible litigation if that does happen. So there are just so many undefined and ambiguous things in this bill that just opens it up to a lot of issues that could potentially occur with students in school. So based on those reasons, I will be down on the bill, and I hope to have further conversation about what this in reality could look like. But thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Beltran, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep, for the bill. I do want to address some issues. I think there have been some, there have certainly been some concerns. I'm trying to kind of work through our constitutional protections, right? So we got the First Amendment. It has two prongs that are relevant here. We have the Establishment Clause. We have the Free Exercise Clause. I've heard people touch on both. I don't think this creates an establishment of religion. I don't think it puts the imprimatur of the school on the chaplains, the volunteer chaplains. The way I read this bill is anyone can apply. That's kind of, it's both the Establishment Clause and Free Exercise Clause are really kind of in tension, and sometimes you do something to comply with one and it puts you at risk of the other. But because some of the commentary, both my colleagues and from the public, have said that there really is not a whole ton of vetting of these volunteer chaplains, that means that the school has not put its imprimatur on the chaplains. If you started to vet these chaplains and make some onerous requirement, and the school board or the school administration was exercising some discretion, that's where you're going to run into constitutional problems, right? That's where they're going to say, well, do we approve this religion or that, or does this person have the qualifications? And somebody from a different denomination is going to say, well, you approved so-and-so, but you didn't approve me. The way I read this is everyone's allowed to approve as long as you're not, I think you have to be a level two something. I assume that's to make sure you haven't violated children or committed any crimes or things of that nature, as long as you kind of meet that base criteria, which I think is, we can certainly impose that without running afoul of any constitutional provisions, then I think you're good to go. And then we have the parental consent, right? So no one's going to be proselytized to unless their parents sign them up for that particular chaplain, and the denomination's going to be there on the list. So nobody's going to be going around grabbing kids in the hallway, trying to convert them or anything like the parade of horribles that's been implied by some of the public comment. So with that, I think the bill does pass constitutional muster. If at a later stop you're inclined, Rep. McClain, to codify, we can codify the Establishment Clause. We can codify the Free Exercise Clause. We can put a section in the bill that says those things that we all know are applicable to any government program, right? But we can codify that. But in terms of putting some sort of rigorous requirements, I think that's going to imperil the constitutionality rather than cure any problem with the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Daniels, you're recognized to debate.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I am Representative Daniels, but I'm also Reverend Kimberly Daniels. And I am the representative who sponsored the bill to put prayer back in school. So I guess everybody already know where I stand. I have an associate's degree in biblical studies, a master's in Christian education, doctorate in counseling. I preached in 40 countries, and I'm a best-selling author of 23 Christian books. I also have a doctorate in being delivered from the streets. life is the best experience you can have in ministry. Degrees alone can in no way prepare you for the problems that our young people have. Well, I heard that this bill don't make sense, but we're wired differently. But some of the things I heard in here today as a minister don't make sense to me. So I understand that. And I just want to say that I think that this bill is being taken somewhere that it's not. We hear the same things every time it talks about our young people are dying on the streets every day. I didn't sleep for 26 hours because of stuff that's going on in my neighborhood, in my community, in my house. And I don't want to go into all the details of that, but we need to do something different. And I think we need to find a common ground on all the details and if this is constitutional and all this. But I'm going to tell you, out of everything that I heard in here today, the call of God is so much more powerful than anything I have heard in here today. I didn't go to Bible school. I'm the only one in the house that didn't go to church. I was an absolute heathen. I didn't choose God. He chose me. And when I was getting ready to go smoke some more dope or go hang out on a corner or do whatever, no one proselytized me. God himself touched me on my shoulder and said, hey, girl, all that dirt you're doing for the other side, I want you to come and work for me. So I'm passionate about this. This is not a good bill. This is the best bill I've heard, not all day, but since we've been in session. Thank you for having the courage to do this bill. We got all different opinions in here. But I think we are doing the right thing, and almost all of what I heard in here has nothing to do with this bill, and I'm up on this absolutely great bill.
Thank you. Representative Chamberlain, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Rep, for this great bill. I appreciate the effort, and I know it took time to put this together. And I can tell you're looking out for the best interest of the future and our children. I want to thank the chaplain, the gentleman that gave us the definition today of the word grooming. And there might be grooming going on in our public schools. This is not an area that I would call grooming at all. It would be the opposite of that. And I wanted to throw out it. To me, it's the opposite because parents and school systems have complete control over whether or not any of the children, your children, your children would need to be able to, or you would allow them to sit in front of a chaplain. So I commend the effort here. I'm very pleased to be up on the bill and want to see it go all the way through. So thank you.
Thank you, members. Any further debate? Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
Yeah, I was waiting to the end so I could cool down a little bit because I didn't know you were such a strong Christian nationalist up there trying to push some sort of racist, religious, Zionist, whatever the heckist you are. It's ridiculous. I'm just sorry they didn't have the courage to tell you to your face, so I'll tell you to your face. I apologize for those comments. After I read this and I hear some of the opposition, I'm like, man, this is a horrific bill. This bill must be establishing a Christian religion in our schools. This bill must be putting baby Jesus and all versions of him in front of the schoolhouse so that we can make sure we sign the cross before we walk into our public school. But upon a plain reading, I recognize that it does none of that. And shame on anyone who tried to tell me different. What this bill actually does is create a system for schools to choose. And funny how yesterday we were being told parents need the choice. It's all about parental choice, except when it comes to your God, apparently. So this bill says, parents, if you want some sort of other counseling, some sort of other programming that the school doesn't provide, here's your list. It literally says that. Schools can decide who they allow on their campuses. We are not dictating. The other thing I heard yesterday is we're really tired of being told what to do at the local level. Well, local level, we're telling you, establish your program. For all of these reasons, I'm up, but mostly because the truth in the writing doesn't reflect what I was told today. So thank you, sir. I appreciate you, and I'll stand with you.
Thank you. With that, Representative McClain, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, thank you for your questions, for your comments. And to the speakers, I think as each one of them spoke, it's the very reason why we did not put more bumpers in the bill. If I, and I do want to say something, I only know one person in here, I only know of one person in this entire, I think, in the entire room that I know where that one person goes to church in this entire room. In this entire room, I only know one person of where they actually attend church. All the rest of everybody in here, I have no clue. So this was not about, I didn't set out to do a bill to make sure that only Kim Daniels' organization could be the one that were the volunteers in schools. I didn't set out. I have an organization in Marion County where I live of chaplain. It's 1,600 members of every religious background that you can name. Every religious background you can name is part of that organization. If I had tried to define what a chaplain is, what they should be, what qualifications they have, we would have a food. There would be people up. There would have been people coming up here saying, "Wait a minute, you left me out. We have another qualification." We would get in. It would have been a mass food fight about who, how we define it, and who should be defined. That's why we have not put those bumpers in there. That's why we have not defined this. You heard three different people from three different organizations telling us that there were some different parts of chaplaincy that they thought should be in the bill. So we wanted to leave it open. We wanted to leave it open to any religion. That was the first, Senator Grawl is my co-sponsor in the Senate, or my Senate sponsor. That was the first thing we said when we talked to each other. We said, this is not going to be a bill about proselytizing. This is not going to be a bill about naming a religion to be the only one that can be volunteers. Because we know to have freedom, we have to give freedom. That's what America is about. We have to. If I want freedom, I have to give it. So I'm giving freedom. I'm giving freedom for local school boards to make the decision of their community. I guarantee you, my community will make a different decision than other communities. Your community is going to make a different decision. Some of yours will probably not even make a decision, or they will say, "No, we think we can do this because we're already doing it." So we're leaving it open to all that, and letting them do that. And as it relates to who can be a chaplain or who can't, what are the requirements? Basically, we said, look, they have to have a level two. They have to have a level two background screening to even be in the school. Number one, that's the most important part. Make sure that they haven't created any crimes against children or any crimes in general. But beyond that, there are a bunch of different groups of chaplains who I think could qualify to do this work, but we're going to leave that to the local school district. Members, I appreciate every conversation that we've had and all the remarks that you've made. Thank you.
Thank you. Having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
No.
Kennedy? Casello?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin? Gant?
No.
Garcia? Gilombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Tribolsi?
Yes.
12 yeas, 2 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Misty. By your vote, HB 931 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, members.
Thank you for your patience, Representative Bell. We are going to hear now House Bill 1429 relating to district and school advisory councils, and you are recognized to present.
Well, thank you, Chair Tribolsi, Vice Chair, and ranking members and board members. I am a parent of two daughters. My daughters are 39 and 34. I have been serving on a Student Advisory Council board for 30 years. For this 30 years, it has been a dog and pony show. A Student Advisory Council has been back in the late 80s, was come down from the state, and it's mandated by the state and the school boards that you would have an advisory board. How many of you have ever served on an advisory board? So, okay, I've got your attention. So you know what type of dog and pony show it is. You show up. My advisory board that I serve on right now, the meetings are once a month on a 7:30 a.m. morning. I show up and I listen to what's happening in the school, which is wonderful. It's great. I mean, we want the community involved. But it's, like I said, it's a dog and pony show. I show up, I hear what's going on in the school. But then when it comes to voting on different issues that the school's having, maybe their incentivized money that they got from the lottery, they maybe brought their school grade up to a B or an A, we're voting on that. Well, guess who's sitting at the table to vote on it? Me, maybe two others, but all the school teachers, or they may have the custodian there. They're bringing, the principal is mandated to do this, so he can't find, or he doesn't, or she doesn't go out into the community to find these members. It's just, you know, it just happens that they're having the their schools sit in on, you know, their teachers or their faculty. And I feel like it needs to be changed. Every one of us sitting here as legislators or sitting in the audience, if a school was to pick up a phone and call you and say, listen, we need pencils, we don't have paper, you would be the first to say, hey, I'm there, I'm here to help. And that's what my bill does. It mandates schools to bring in the community to sit on these advisory boards, just not using teachers and faculty there. So that is my story of the Student Advisory Council. I want to change this name to CAB, Community Advisory Board, to give more teeth into this. I believe in career academies. We've done that across the board in Polk County, where I serve. If we had more community advisory people there at the table, we could help out our school system so much. So I want to change the name, and then it allows for more community inclusive and encourages community support. It advertises requirements for board positions. I did a little experiment. I stood out of school last year as parents were dropping their kids off. I said, do you know anything about SAC? First of all, they said no. Have you ever been invited to serve on a SAC? They said no. They didn't even know what I was talking about, because there's no advertisement. They're not putting it out to the parents to get involved. So that's going to mandate that we have advertisement, and it does not increase any type of regulation. And that is my bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Gant?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep, I just want to clarify, this is not regarding ESAC, right?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Temple, Vice Chair Temple, you're recognized.
Thank you. Do you change any of the percent requirements of the makeup of the advisory board that's currently in place?
Yes, I do have an amendment.
You're recognized.
Okay, thank you. My amendment will change. To explain what my amendment is going to do, it's 70%.
Oh, excuse me, are you explaining your amendment?
Yeah, I should have read my amendment. Yes.
And are there any excuse me.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Are there any exemptions for rural communities that have, you know, less business? I know currently the makeup now is supposed to be made up of 50% of non-school employees. So I understand a lot of times they aren't able to make it. Their business doesn't allow them to leave to make the meetings, whether you do them in the morning or evening or during the school day or lunch. There's always those challenges of people not being able to make it. So sometimes those percentages don't line up the way that you want them to. But currently, if I remember correct, it's you're supposed to have 50% community, 50% school-based at most.
You're recognized.
Thank you, and thank you for that question. I have worked across the aisle the past year. In fact, I have two of my colleagues here with me, Representative Valdez and Representative Bartleman, that has helped me with this bill for the last year, and my bill is going to require 70%. And you talk about rural areas. I come from rural, and how difficult it is going to be to bring in a community member. I also heard from my areas that are in a low socioeconomic area, you know, how are, you know, parents are working 6 to 6, or, you know, and so my bill suggests that they do a poll with the parents and the school advisory members of when is the best meeting. They may have a meeting on one month at 7:30 a.m., but the following month they need to have, to accommodate other people, they need to have a 7 o'clock in the evening so that other parents can be involved.
Thank you. Yes. Members, any further questions on the bill? We do have an amendment.
Okay.
Representative Bell, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 747613.
Thank you, Chair. This is a technical cleanup, requires a community advisory board composition to be at least 70% of community members to ensure that the community has more involvement. And that is my amendment.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? We do have one speaker for the amendment. Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA, is an opponent and has asked to speak on the amendment.
Actually, I was going to waive in opposition. We are in favor of the bill, opposed to the amendment.
Yes, ma'am. Would you like to speak on that?
I'll be very brief. And I have been on those councils as well. I agree absolutely with the sponsor with the question of getting everybody together. So I think there are some other solutions. We in PTA, and I'm speaking on behalf of Florida PTA, do favored shared decision-making at the school site. I do not think that imposing a 70% requirement is going to get more parents there, more community members there. And community members, at least in my county, are also required. Somebody from the business community and those who are simply from the municipality or the neighborhood itself. I think if going to alternate means, something like a virtual meeting might be able to accommodate more involvement. Involvement is a problem. Principals handpicking the parents or the community members, that's a problem. But I don't think that that is solved by going to a 70%. Thank you. I appreciate it. I recognize the problem.
Thank you for being here. Members, we're still on the amendment. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, Representative Bell, you're welcome to close on the amendment.
May I close?
Members, if you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed, no. By your vote, the amendment is adopted. Members, we're back on the bill as amended, and we have no appearance cards on the bill. Members, we're now in debate. Is there anyone wishing to debate on the bill? Vice Chair Temple, you're recognized in debate.
So I applaud the effort. I understand the reasoning logic behind it. I'll be supportive today, but I'd love to have some more dialogue. As somebody that's had to build those committee meetings, those members, there are requirements that you are supposed to be sending out notices to parents, not handpicking, and there's a voting process that goes with that. There's regulation that should be followed. Now, whether that's followed at the school level, that's up to the district to monitor and make sure that they enforce. And 100%, one of my biggest soapboxes I get on is community involvement. It was one of the big pieces of turning around the school that I was a part of. And so I 100% support that thought, but putting some of those requirements in may make it very difficult in what happens if they can't meet those requirements, as well as the makeup of the, because the board is supposed to be reflective of the community of the school. So if it's 50% of one of males and 50% females and 40% black and 30% Hispanic. All those things have to line up. You have to be within margins. And so that makes it really challenging. So there's one of the difficulties in the selection process. But I'll be up today. Looking forward to working with you.
Thank you. Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Bell, you're welcome to close on your bill.
Well, thank you again for hearing my bill. And I wanted to add also, I met with our superintendent several times, and he gave me a lot of suggestions. And this was one that he came back and said, you know, we may want to put like a percentage on there. So I'm, you know, willing to work with you along with my, across the aisle with my other representatives to make this a great bill. But to make it where our community is involved in our schools, because like Representative Temple just said, that is what's going to make us have great education here in the state of Florida, for the community to be involved. So thank you, and I will close with that.
Thank you. Misty, having closed on the bill, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin? Hannity? Casello?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Gant? Garcia?
Yes.
Gilombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Trabulsi?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 1429 will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up, we'll hear House Bill 847 relating to school readiness program by Representative Bartleman. Representative Bartleman, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Trabulsi, Vice Chair Temple, and Ranking Member Benjamin. And it is truly an honor to present House Bill 847. And I want to say thank you to all of the committee members who indulged me in a very long conversation to explain this bill. I tried to narrow it down a little bit for this presentation. So last summer, as many of you know, I met with a parent named Trinae and her son Logan. Logan has unique abilities, and Trinae was struggling to find an ELC provider that would be willing to take her son. Her son was actually expelled from 6 different preschools, but Trinae did not give up, and her son was eventually placed in a school district pre-K classroom. She was elated, but ran into another roadblock. No aftercare program in the community would grant admission to her son. It would be nice if all of our workdays ended at 2, but that is not the case, and parents like Trinae struggle to access services for their children, and they also struggle to find gainful employment because of this situation. Studies show that parents and caregivers of children with disabilities have difficulty participating in the labor market, and it negatively impacts their working hours as well as their income. So I had further conversations. I met with Trinae again. I met with my Early Learning Coalition and other children advocacy groups. The population of early learners with developmental delays and/or behavioral issues has become more prevalent in our schools. These students are often bumped from one program to the next, disjointing their educational experience, and this only exacerbates their existing behavioral issues, and they have no continuity in their instruction. Additionally, the special needs eligibility for the school readiness program only allows children into the program who are 3 or 4 years old. There is also no requirement for the providers serving them to have any additional training or additional skills to support these children with special needs. These children, if they do find a program, are being expelled at alarmingly high rates. I was shocked to find out the expulsion rate in our early learning centers is approximately 3 times of that of K through 12 combined. Families with infants, toddlers, and school-aged children who need a school day for their child, as well as after-school programming, have limited access. These are children who need our help. These are children that we know, if they got early intervention, would be more successful when they entered kindergarten. In response, we created this bill. It incentivizes early learning and after-school providers to accommodate students with special needs, and equips teachers with the training necessary to manage these students
so they can maintain a classroom conducive to all learners. There is already funding for children who need accommodations currently in our state, but there is no requirement for those providers to have any additional training before receiving those funds. This is a provider choice. Providers who choose to serve these children and accept the increased rate will participate in trainings that already exist within the framework provided by county ELCs or DCF. So our teachers will now be better equipped to support these students as well as all students. This bill will also expand access to the school readiness program special needs eligibility category to infants, toddlers, and school-aged children, and will require minimum requirements for providers who choose to serve those children. So this bill will give greater access to children and families of special needs, and I'm asking for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing no questions. We do have a few appearance cards. Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA, waving in support. Thank you. Nicholas Hessing, Children's Services Council of Broward County, waves in support. Tara Reed Cherry, Children's Movement of Florida, waves in support. Natalie King, Helios Education Foundation, waves in support. Dr. Fred Hicks, Early Learning Coalition of Hillsborough County, waves in support. Victoria Zepp, Children's Home Network, waves in support. Michelle Watson, Florida Alliance of Children Councils and Trusts, waves in support. Michael Barrett, Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, waves in support. Members, we're now in debate on the bill. Any debate on the bill? Okay, seeing no debate, Representative Bartleman, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I would like to close by saying thank you, Chair. Thank you for working with me on this language. I want to thank Aaron Smeltzer out there. This is ELC. You got your job cut out for you, all the ELC providers. It is incredibly technical. I learned so much while I was researching for this bill. Rep Temple learned a lot because he asked me some questions before, so we discovered new things together. But I want to thank everyone out there because this is really going to make a difference. This little, as we say, these little changes will have a huge impact on children and families. And if it wasn't for the experts out there working with me on this, it's too late for Trinae now, but we'll be able to help parents like Trinae. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We're going to go a little bit out of order. We had a last-minute appearance card. Katie Walters wishes to appear in person and speak on the bill. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, I'm Katie Walters. I'm a pre-K special ed teacher, and I'm so happy I was sitting in here to hear this because I've had families decline services because they can't find aftercare for their babies, and they roll into our kindergarten classes missing out on that early intervention. So thank you, because we need this.
Did you want to close again on the bill? It was great. Thank you for being here today. Having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Kennedy? Costello?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Gant? Garcia?
Yes.
Gilombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Trabolsi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 847 is reported favorably. And I am going to do the ceremonial exchange of the gavel over to Vice Chair Temple. Because I have a bill to present.
We have CSHB 929 relating to school readiness program by Chair Trabolsi. Chair, you're recognized to explain CSHB 929.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Temple, and thank you, committee, for hearing this bill. It's something we've been working on in committee all year, and we've learned from the committee and the Florida Chamber's Untapped Potential Report that lack of affordable child care is a top barrier to parents entering or remaining in the workforce. This bill looks to make changes to the state school readiness program to maximize participation, codify funding, and support adequate reimbursement rates for school readiness providers. The bill redefines the term economically disadvantaged to 55% state income, state median income, and approximates $75.4 million to increase the number of children eligible for school readiness through this eligibility change. Not in this bill, but rolled out in the budget yesterday, was approximately $60 million appropriation to eliminate the current wait list, which is approximately 15,000 students. The reason behind changing this methodology is because our state median income is growing faster than the federal poverty level. For example, 55% of state median income is 150% of the federal poverty level, depending on a family size. This bill will capture single-parent households making $15 per hour in anticipation of the constitutionally mandated minimum wage required by September 30th, 2026. Currently, a family pays approximately 7% of their income towards the cost of childcare if they receive school readiness dollars. The minute they lose that subsidy, it jumps to approximately 33% of their income. This bill creates a sliding fee scale for parent co-payments, so as a parent's income increases, they will take on more of the tuition costs. The bill clarifies which data is to be used in setting reimbursement rates for school readiness providers for use by the principals of the Early Learning Estimated Conference. The $100 million appropriation in this bill supports the anticipated increase in the provider reimbursement rates when based on cost of care. Finally, the bill removes the language that we will be adding back in our First Amendment, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Members, are there any questions of the bill? Seeing no questions, we have two amendments on the bill. However, Chair Trabolsi would like to withdraw the amendment barcode 981399. Any objection? Showing no objection, the amendment is withdrawn. Chair Trabolsi, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode 799441.
Thank you, Chair Temple. In the first committee, we did a strike all, and the categoricals were removed as it relates to quality of care and the Gold Seal Quality Care Program. And we just want to make sure we put those back in. It was in error.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, are there any appearance cards on the amendment? No appearance cards. Is there any debate on the amendment? No debate on the amendment. Chair Trabolsi, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
We close.
Members, if you're in favor of the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed? By your vote, the amendment is adopted. Members, we're back on the bill as amended. There are public appearance cards on the bill. We have Molly Grant, Association of Early Learning Coalition, wishes to appear.
Good morning, committee members, and thank you, Chairman. And first, I just want to thank the bill sponsor and her staff for all of the work that has gone into this bill and for bringing these issues forth. The Association of Early Learning Coalitions is made up of all 30 early learning coalitions throughout the state. And this bill actually touches on two of our priorities for this year. The AELC supports specifically changes to eligibility that will help preserve access to our lowest income working parents. And then we also support efforts to increase our provider reimbursement rates. We always want to make sure that our providers are reimbursed for the services we're asking them to provide. and then also ensure that the voucher the family receives to be able to go get childcare services is sufficient to provide meaningful parental choice and access. So this bill, as well as the amendments, we thank you for the amendments, provide that solid starting point for it, and we look forward to continued conversations with the bill sponsor to further strengthen it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have up Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA, wishing to appear in person. Thank you very much. Next, we have up Sarah Massey, Florida Chamber of Commerce, a proponent of the bill. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm here on behalf of the Florida Chamber of Commerce, and we are here in enthusiastic support as well as appreciation for our sponsor. We really believe that, you know, a strong workforce starts with our earliest learners, and this bill is about that. It's about supporting our earliest learners and empowering parents to have access to quality early learning. And I believe we heard from an educator that we're seeing students fall through the cracks in early age. We want to see those children show up ready for kindergarten and reading at third grade level. And we're also finding that these options just aren't accessible or affordable. We're seeing parents leave the workforce, not being able to show up to work. In fact, our Untapped Potential report found that our state is missing out on about $5.4 billion annually because of these issues. So we just really appreciate the attention to this matter. We appreciate our chair, and thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Tara Reed Cherry, Children's Movement of Florida, waving in support. Natalie King from Helios Education Foundation, waving in support. And Tara Reed Cherry also has another agency, the Learning Experience, waving in support. Matt Herndon from United Way of Florida, United Way Suncoast Tampa Bay Partnership, waving in support. Michelle Watson, Florida Alliance of Children's Council and Trust, waving in support. Michael Barrett, Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, waving in support. Members, we are now in debate. Is there anyone wishing to debate the bill? Seeing no debate, Chair DeBolsa, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Chair Temple. I would also like to thank this whole area and the audience over here, my cheering squad, my late night posse, if you will. There are probably hundreds of hours that I am happy to say that I will never get back, because this bill is just that important. It is not a child care issue. It is not a workforce issue. It is an all-encompassing issue, because if we don't get these kids, especially the ones who need it the most, whose family doesn't have the means to provide quality child care, if we don't get them help, then we are starting them off on the wrong foot. And this bill changes that. And it's complicated. It's a complicated process. I can't tell you how many times I've said, explain that again, because it is really complicated. But this bill takes a multifaceted approach to school readiness. It includes addressing reimbursement rates, but also eligibility. The two cannot coexist without the other. And I appreciate you indulging me on the time that we've spent on this throughout this committee. And again, appreciate staff so much, all the folks that have been here helping along the way, and the people that have been here before me making a path to make this happen. So thank you again. Ms. Lothar, I thought you were gonna speak. I was so excited to hear you speak on this, but we'll talk afterwards. I'm so happy that you're in support. And with that, I close.
Thank you. Having closed on the bill, Misty, please call roll.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Kennedy. Casello.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Franklin.
Yes.
Gant. Garcia?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager? Chair Trabulsi?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
At this time, we'll turn the gavel back over to you. Reports favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm super excited. Okay, now we will hear House Bill 417 related to educational services in the Department of Juvenile Justice programs by Representative Lopez and Placencia. You're recognized to present your bill.
Good afternoon, Chair Trabulsi, Vice Chair Temple, and Ranking Member Benjamin. And members of the committee. I am here with Prime Co-Sponsor Placencia, Representative Placencia and friend, to present House Bill 417, Educational Services in Department of Juvenile Justice Programs. This bill requires school districts to annually provide students 16 and older in juvenile justice programs with at least one opportunity yearly to take the high school equivalency exam at no cost to the student. And that's the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? No questions? We do have appearance cards. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waving in support. Nancy Lothar, we're going to have to put you on payroll soon. Is a proponent of the bill. It says you wish to appear in person. Okay, thank you. Waving in support. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Redondo, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say thank you both for bringing this bill. My mom was a ESC teacher in, she taught at DJJ facilities in the past, so I think this is a great bill, and thank you for bringing it. I'll be up on it today.
Representative Daniels, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I see that there is a minimal fiscal impact, and this is the best seed that the state of Florida can plant. And Representative, because you sponsored this bill, young people will have a better chance at a second chance, and the mistakes that they made won't rule over their heads for the rest of their lives with this educational opportunity. Thank you so much.
Members, any further debate? Representative Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Real quickly, it's nice to see the red and blue working across, passing good bills together. I appreciate you ladies. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Any further debate? Okay, seeing no further debate, the red and blue team may close on the bill.
We've closed, Madam Chair.
Misty, having closed on the bill, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Kennedy? Casello?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin? Gant? Garcia?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Trabulsi?
Yes.
Yay. That's 15 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 417 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear PCS for HB 537 relating to student achievement. Representative Valdez, thank you so much for your patience, and you are recognized to explain your bill.
Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair Trabulsi, Vice Chair Temple, and Ranking Member Benjamin, staff and committee members. I actually enjoyed listening to all the previous bills, and it just filled my heart with joy watching three school board members, previous school board members, sitting together and making great policies. So it brought me joy. But back to our bill. Thank you for allowing me to present PCS for House Bill 537 today. This particular bill does two things. The bill deletes all the provisions of the Education Code related to the certificate of completion, removing the certificate as an option for students with sufficient high school credits but failing to meet the standardized assessment or GPA requirements for graduation with a standard high school diploma. Must remind you all that this particular certificate of completion does not even allow you to enter into the military or trade school or things of that nature. So the bill, though, maintains the provision that permits a student to remain in high school either as a full-time student or part-time student for up to one additional year to receive special instruction and designed to remedy their deficiencies and hopefully walk across that stage and earn that standard high school diploma. Second, the bill establishes a two-year music-based supplemental content to accelerate learner engagement and success, also known as MSCALES, a pilot program within the Department of Education. The program is intended to assist districts in adopting music-based supplemental materials that support STEM courses for middle school students. And we had such great success with the Early Childhood Music Education Incentive Program that we are expanding the pilot program to middle school students. Madam Chair and committee members, that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on this bill? No questions? Okay, public appearance cards. Nancy Loeffler, we're gonna give you one chance to speak if you like. Rinse and repeat. Thank you. Nancy is a proponent of the bill. Natalie King, Charter School Readers of Hillsborough County, waves in support. Members, we're now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Quick comment, absolutely. Vice Chair Temple.
Thank you. I'll be up today. We had a good conversation to start. Still have a few concerns, and we'll, I know we'll continue to work for making this better. And so with that, I'll be up. Thank you.
Members, any further debate? Representative, I would just like to say it has been a pleasure working with you on this. You are so diligent and thoughtful and open-minded. I know we've changed course a few times to kind of land in this place, and I just appreciate the hard work and most importantly, your love of children. I know your heart is always in the right place. We do have one more person. Representative Beltran, did you want to debate?
I'm just getting ready to vote. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Jumping the gun. Okay, but anyway, your heart for children is just undeniable. I appreciate working with you. It's always a pleasure. With no more debate, you may close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This has been a labor of love, and thank you very much for hearing this bill. And yes, we've had different versions of this bill and had different conversations. And believe it or not, the removal of the certificate of completion was always what the goal was because of the fact that how many students are not benefiting at all from this particular earning this particular certificate of completion. It's, I want you all to think about it as the most expensive participation trophy that we can ever give a child. And they deserve better. Another thing that I know that we have to work together absolutely and continue working on this, Vice Chair Temple, because when we sometimes have a blanket standard that regardless of the pathway, you have to meet that standard, there's gonna be some barriers. So I think that as we move forward, we need to try and think a little bit outside of the box as we're creating pathways, that they are successful pathways with no barrier to get to that end goal. So I know that this is the beginning of a lot of more work that we need to do together to get to that. And with that, I ask for your favorable support, and thank you, Madam Chair, for agendaing the bill. Thank you.
Having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Kennedy? Casello?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
DiLombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Trabolsi?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, PCS for HB 537 will be reported favorably.
Thank you, committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Congratulations. Members, next we'll hear House Bill 315 relating to reading achievement, the Reading and Reading Achievement Initiative for Scholastic Excellence. Ranking Member Benjamin, you will be presenting on behalf of Representative Williams.
Yes, Madam Chair, and if I may, from my desk.
Absolutely, and you're recognized.
Thank you. House Bill 315 passed in a previous session through most of its committees. Unfortunately, we ran out of time before it could get to the finish line. So Representative Williams has brought it back again for your approval. And it provides that elementary schools provides the foundation for a student's learning experience, specifically for the building of their literacy skills. This bill creates more opportunities for tutoring and learning by adding the option for school districts to provide after-school tutoring for students who need extra attention. This bill will also allow districts to provide instructional personnel and high school students with a stipend for after-school tutoring. This bill gives the option for high school students to apply unpaid tutoring hours towards their Florida Bright Futures Scholarship Program. And that is the bill.
Thank you, members. Any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we do have a few appearance cards. Chadwick Leonard, Florida Education Association, waves in support. Nancy Loeffler, Florida PTA, waves in support. And Reverend Dr. Joe Paramore, the Council of Florida Churches, waves in support. Members, we're now in debate. Is there any debate on this bill? Seeing no debate, Ranking Member Benjamin, you are welcome to close on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wave closing.
Having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Kennedy? Casello?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Garcia? DiLombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Trabolsi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 315 will be reported favorably. Members, it's been a great day. We've got some good legislation moving, so I'm excited, and thank you so much for your time and your thoughtful questions and debate. So, without any objection, Representative G. Lombardo moves that we rise. We are adjourned.